What's up, everyone? Justin here from the Main State of Mind podcast, episode 38 with Devin McConnell of the Arizona Coyotes. Devin is the high performance director for the Coyotes in the NHL. He goes back with me a little bit ways. We used to work when I used to cover UMass Lowell hockey. He worked for the team in sports performance. He won a couple of championships with them, a couple of NCAA appearances, regular season titles, and a Frozen Four appearance as well. So Devin McConnell jumped on to talk about what he does for the Arizona Coyotes, how he got to that position, and what someone can do to get into a position like his, if that's what they want to do in life. So really great conversation. Nice to reminisce a little bit about UMass Lowell years and the championships they won and the success they had there with Norm Bazin and Cam Ellsworth, along with the other rest of the team. Devin is also a published author. He has Intent, a practical approach to applied sports science and athletic development, and he co-authored that with a guy named Justin, and it's available on Amazon. You can find a link on our website, themainstateofmaine.com, or through Devin's Twitter account, which is at dmcconnell29 on Twitter, and purchase that book if you're interested in a practical approach to applied sports science. Additionally, please rate, subscribe, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. It helps the podcast go a long way. You can search for us, The Main State of Mind. You can also find us at themainstateofmind.com. I really appreciate all you guys listening. This is episode 38 with Devin McConnell, the high performance director for the Arizona Coyotes of the National Hockey League. Enjoy. How's it going, Devin?
Hey, man. How are you? Doing well.
I'm doing well. It is a crazy world. Just before we started recording, you mentioned how crazy it is right now with the COVID situation and all that. But I feel like every time I do a podcast now, it's the same conversation over and over again in a different industry. But it's just we're trying to, like, you know, make do with what we have and stay healthy. You're obviously in a new state. You moved to Arizona during this time. Before we get into everything, what's it like moving in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah, no, it was a great life choice by me in the middle of a global pandemic. Decided to move my family across country from New Jersey all the way to Arizona. Fortunately, things went smoothly and everything, you know, everybody was safe and healthy and all that. But yeah, it's pretty wild. Maybe not the best time to try to do that, but, you know, strike while the iron's hot, I guess, right?
Yeah, you got to take your opportunities too. I mean, you obviously have a new job with the Arizona Coyotes. And is it the same job you basically had with New Jersey with a different title? Or is it just, I mean, does every team have their own title? Is that what it is? Or is it...
A little bit. It's kind of a step up from the job that I had in New Jersey. Similar kind of day-to-day, you know, day job type responsibilities, but a little bit more of a management leadership kind of role, overseeing some more people than previously.
So you're the director of high performance, a high performance director?
Yeah, high performance director is what it's called here.
And you were with the New Jersey Devils prior to that. And then where I met you was back at UMass Lowell, where you spent a number of years, which I was looking at some stuff and reminiscing back when you were there. Just after you started working with the team, they started winning games. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, really, it was just after they hired Norm Bazin as the head coach, who then hired me. I don't know how much I had to do with that early turnaround, but I did hop on the train at the right time. It was a lot of fun.
It's funny because I first started following the team when the season before Norm came in. And so I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But then I started writing for the team about the team when they started winning. So sometimes I tell people it's me. The reason they started winning is because I started covering the team and the team became actually a competitor in Hockey East and so on. But yeah, they won three championships, two championships. You were two regular season titles, three championships, and five NCAA tournament appearances while you were working for the team. So that's what I always remember. I've separated myself, not on purpose, but just with life and all that stuff, from college hockey to a point where I moved to Maine. And so I got away from being in Lowell and covering the team. And so it's been a number of years since I've actually in depth covered the team. So it is a little separation now. And now it seems like, you know, they haven't won a championship since I've left. So it's like, you know, maybe it is.
I think you're right. You're the winning ticket.
Exactly. So with the high performance director or director of high performance and so on, you are overseeing the health of the team. Explain what you do, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. So it's kind of a couple of hats. I mean, the director kind of piece of the job is really kind of overseeing the performance department, strength and conditioning coaches, working with the medical staff, nutrition, you know, working with, you know, we have a team chef and dealing with all the nutrition side of things. And it's a new role here. It's a fairly new role in the National Hockey League. There's a handful of other teams that have a similar role. It's a brand new role here with the Coyotes. So, you know, the last couple of months has really been kind of getting my feet on the ground and getting a lay of the land and starting to kind of build out a department and things like that. So that's kind of the big picture director role, sort of overseeing, you know, the performance, essentially of the players and the team. And then the day-to-day is really kind of, I handle the sports science sort of, piece of the puzzle under the performance umbrella. So that's also kind of a new area for the Coyotes, bringing in some new sort of tools and technologies. And that's what I kind of handled in New Jersey, without overseeing everything. I was sort of the sports science director and building out that piece of the puzzle there. So I've kind of brought that piece with me, in addition to kind of overseeing the whole operation now.
That's really cool. And I'm guessing in a time like we live in right now with COVID, it's probably more difficult and a little bit different than it would be if you took this role over 2 years ago or 2 years from now.
It's more difficult from the standpoint of all of the kind of, you know, hoops that we have to jump through and all the regulations and the safety precautions. And it's not specific to my role or the Coyotes. It's sort of, you know, it's what the rules are in the National Hockey League to allow us to be able to play and, you know, all of the things that we have to do to keep everybody safe and, you know, that's distancing and testing and just all of the things that everybody has to do these days, certainly makes it more challenging. Makes the days a little bit longer usually than kind of normally would be just because of some of the extra things that have to happen. But those are just the things that everybody's going through right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's not just the National Hockey League, it's pretty much any professional sports or collegiate sports or people living their life in general, to be honest. I manage a brewery and I have to deal with that kind of stuff. It's different because of COVID on a day-to-day basis as it is right now. I mean, I work from home most of the time now and our restaurant's actually closed and all that stuff. So COVID has changed a lot of people's lives. It's just, you know, way you navigate it and what career you're in is different for everybody else, right? I mean, that's basically what it is. is it something you strive for in personal life of health and sport or performance in your life? And then the addition to hockey is how you get into a job you're in? Or is it, is this something you wanted to do from, you know, way back? Obviously you went to school and so on, but is this a passion of yours that also became a career? Or is it just, tell me how you got into this position, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's, you know, this specific position has really gotten here. It's been sort of a progression and, you know, I guess it's like anybody and, you know, on their career path, like things sort of morph and change and opportunities arise and you end up going different paths and that, you know, than maybe you even knew were potentially available when you started. You know, I went to school, kind of the real backstory is I originally went to school for physical therapy, or thought that I wanted to go into physical therapy and realized that what I wanted to do was, work. I was a college hockey player. Realized I wanted to work in team sports more on the, you know, the performance side of things than the rehab side of things. So that's kind of how I started and ended up going into strength and conditioning. And strength and conditioning as a field has sort of morphed and progressed over the last, 15 years or so that I've been in it, to a point where now, you know, these roles like I'm in now, this high performance director and inclusion of sports science, like these didn't even exist when I started out in the field, right? So I didn't have this forethought that I wanted to be a high performance director when I started because that job didn't exist. So along the way, those things have kind of, you know, like I said, kind of morphed and built in the field, in my field, and to the point now where we have, you know, this type of scenario. And even, you know, I look back working at UMass Lowell, you know, it's interesting because I wore a lot of different hats at the time. Working with the hockey team as the strength and conditioning coach, and really the difference between there and here at this level is that at UMass Lowell in college hockey, I did the job that we now have five or six people doing, right? So I was the high performance director. I was the sports scientist. I was the nutritionist. I was the strength coach. Whereas here we have two strength coaches. We have a medical staff. We have, you know, a high performance director. We have a nutritionist. So it's the job itself has kind of been the path to get to the job has just been sort of an organic kind of progression of how the field has gone and where I've kind of carved out a niche for myself, I guess, and the importance of kind of the area of sports science has, you know, growing in the field and especially in hockey, and then sort of, you know, these new positions coming about in the National Hockey League.
It's pretty cool because, I mean, you were a college hockey player and you were a goaltender, correct? If I'm wrong. Yeah. So yep. Goaltender. Yep. And so you were able to continue your career in hockey without having to play or being able to play, which is kind of cool. And with the addition of some of these roles that you maybe not have seen many years ago, it gave you the opportunity now that you're technically, quote unquote, in the NHL, and you're not a player, but you're able to impact other people's playing. It's also, I mean, NHL as a physical sport, it's probably more better for your body that you're the coaching these people to better sports performance than actually playing. But it's kind of cool. I like the idea that you were able to continue your career and get to the top level of leagues, but in a position of on a more of a coaching position than it is actual player, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was certainly not good enough to you know, play in the National Hockey League. So it's as close to, you know, the dream as possible. And I'm very fortunate. I mean, I get to, you know, essentially I get to come to work every day, hang out in a weight room, in a hockey rink, and be surrounded by the sport that I grew up playing with and have been in love with since I was a little kid. And, you know, it's a pretty awesome opportunity.
Do you, not side with, but are you more passionate for goaltending still, or is it just an overall team effort now in this aspect in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly still, you know, I still play and still love, you know, love playing goal and getting out on the ice. And certainly, I think I have a strong connection with goaltenders just because, you know, we come from the same background. My role is not, you know, necessarily, you know, pinpointed on the goaltenders. It's more overarching with what I do. But yeah, I always have a connection with goalies just based on my background.
Are you ready for emergency goaltending position? If it ever comes up in the middle of a game, you need a backup goaltender. Are you ready for this? Or
yeah, you know, it's funny. In New Jersey, I ended up being essentially the de facto third goalie and practicing with the team a bunch of times. You know, when we had our starting goalie maybe, you know, needed a day off after a game the next day at practice, instead of trying to call somebody up from the minors and have them, you know, drive in from out of town or whatever, like I was right there, I could jump right in. And so it was actually a lot of fun. I'm not eligible to be the emergency backup because I'm employed by the team. So that dream has been dashed, but I do actually get to go out on the ice occasionally and get scored on by NHL players. So it's kind of fun.
It's, you know, it is what it is. And it's like I said, you got your experience. You get to play on the ice and you're in the NHL, quote unquote, which is pretty cool to see and hear and so on. But do you travel with the team at all? Or are you basically stationed in Arizona?
Yeah, I travel. Okay. Yep. It's kind of, you know, this year, especially my first year here just with everything that's going on, I'm traveling kind of full time, may or may not, you know, kind of in the future, it's sort of dependent. My role isn't necessarily like a hands-on need to be sort of there at every minute, you know, from the, again, kind of the management side of things. This year is a little bit different, just kind of all hands on deck. But in the future there, you know, there'll probably be times when the team's on the road and I stay back to work on some projects or things like that. It's kind of usually how the role is sort of formulated.
I'm just thinking about it as you were talking there, my brain went somewhere else too. Was the fact that you've always either been on a team or coached or worked on a team in mostly in colder climates for hockey, right? I mean, am I correct about that? So now you're in Arizona where it's hot out and you're coaching. How does that affect players as a whole? Like, is it different? Is it weird going in from 100 degree weather to an ice arena, or is that something that's just the same as being in New England?
I mean, I think it's probably a positive for most guys. I mean, it's, you know, I've been inside this morning since probably 6 o'clock. So I don't even know if it's nice out today, but it's usually, you know, right now it's probably 70 and sunny, and there's a lot to be said. I think, you know, it's the first time I've ever lived in the desert, certainly, or in a really warm climate. You know, I grew up in Seattle, and then obviously went to school and lived in New England for a long time, and New Jersey. There's something to be said for coming out of the rink at, you know, 2 o'clock after practice day, and you know, it's 70 and sunny, and you can kind of sit outside and get some sun and relax. A little bit different than, you know, getting bogged down and having to shovel the driveway and things like that. So it's certainly kind of nice.
I mean, I was supposed to go on my honeymoon to Arizona this summer, and I ended up not being able to go because of COVID and so on. We opted not to. It obviously could have gone, but opted not to. So we're hoping getting out there at some point to get back out there. We were to drive around in a camper van and visit a bunch of different places all over Arizona. So we're excited to come out there and see it. I've never been there. My aunt lives there. She lives in Scottsdale. So it's nice to, you know, hear and see pictures of her complaining about, hey guys, it's 4 inches of snow coming today, and she's out there in her swimming pool. But it's definitely worth it. I think Arizona is a really cool spot. So it's pretty cool that you landed in a spot that's not only a cool team to work for, and you're in the NHL, working for the NHL, you're also in a spot that's pretty cool to be in too, and something that's different than growing up in New England and going to school in New England. It's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. My, you know, I have two young kids, and family loves it here. And I never sort of imagined living in Phoenix. I'd only been a few times before taking the job, but have really, really enjoyed it. And there's a lot to be said for it.
Did you, was your plan as a whole when you started working in college sports to actually eventually be, to put yourself in the NHL? I know, like you said before, it wasn't really a position, but was there the plan to continue going on, or were you happy originally in college sports, or what was your trajectory? What was your thought process on that?
Yeah, my goal, you know, my career goal had always been, once I realized that this sort of field in general is what I wanted to do, you know, again, kind of starting as a strength and conditioning coach, had always been to get to the NHL. I absolutely loved working in college hockey, college sports in general. I think the environment is fantastic, and I could certainly see myself back in that environment at some point. But my goal had always been to get to the National Hockey League as a, you know, again, originally as a head strength and conditioning coach was sort of the goal. And that's, you know, that's the position that was available in the NHL when I started. And as things have, you know, grown, like I said, there's different roles now. And that's where I find myself. But yeah, I had always wanted to get to this level.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I tell you what, I miss being around a hockey rink, and I miss being around college hockey rinks for sure. There's just a different vibe. Obviously, you know, nothing against the NHL or nothing, you know, against college hockey. I just feel like there's a different vibe at a college hockey rink than there is at an NHL rink. Do you miss, I mean, obviously you said you'd like to be back there, but do you miss those days too? Is it more simple? You know, is your life less confusing in college hockey? Like I said, I just miss being in those arenas. Do you miss being in college hockey arenas?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that I miss. You're right. The culture and kind of the vibe and just the college sports in general, especially if you're, you know, at a successful program and a, you know, a good college and that kind of environment, is just a lot of fun and it's exciting. The jobs themselves are very different as well. I mean, just dealing with college athletes who are, you know, trying to get to where I'm at now versus working with pro athletes, and it's just a different environment and different pros and cons to both, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved I was at Lowell for almost 9 years and at Stanford before that. And, you know, really enjoyed, college hockey, college sports in general. And like I said, I could see myself back in those shoes, you know, down the road sometime.
You know, so speaking of back at UMass Lowell, you coached, or you were working the performance with Connor Hellebuck, who ended up making it to the NHL, Vezina Trophy winner and so on. Goaltender. That you're in the NHL, do you see his reasoning and where he is now, the reasoning why he would leave school with some eligibility left and actually go pro instead of staying back and staying at a successful program where he was extremely successful?
Yeah, no question. I mean, especially in the case of, you know, Connor Hellebuck, like there was nothing, with the exception of winning a national championship, there was nothing less he could accomplish. He was literally the best goaltender in college hockey. You know, he had won championships here. He was fairly unheralded coming to Lowell and left as a, you know, the best goaltender to ever play in the program and one of the best goaltenders you know, the history of college hockey. Like, there was nothing less left really to accomplish from that standpoint. And, you know, the reality is pro sports, like, there's a lot of money on the table. And I don't blame players at all who, you know, take that option when they have the opportunity. And you never know what the future holds. And you know, when there's a lot of money on the table, life-changing money, I would never hold that against somebody.
And then looking back on it, he now all-star, Vezina Trophy winner, starter in the NHL. Yeah, like, obviously, yeah, he made the right decision at that point too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you were also there when other players like Christian Follin Gambardella went pro, Boyle went pro, Kapla, you know. So it is, you had a number of players that it was the bigger number of players that ever came out of UMass Lowell to play pro hockey, because there was a gap there for a while that most players ended up playing pro hockey overseas or in smaller leagues. But for a little while there, you know, that 2012-ish time to 2000, you know, till today, a lot more players came out of that program, and it had to do, I think, with a lot with Norm and his, you know, recruiting, and then obviously with the way that the team was built around coaching and stuff like that too, which is pretty cool to see. Because when I took over, like I said, when I started writing for the team, there wasn't a lot of history, good history to think back on. You couldn't be like, hey, go watch this person play pro hockey, because there wasn't many.
Yeah.
Now, over the past number of years, there has been a number of players who have been able to, you know, either finish their 4 years and go play pro hockey, or leave early and be able to have that experience in pro hockey, which is pretty cool to see for a program, again, that you spent almost 9 years at, to see that successful trajectory they've had over the number of years.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite stats and you know, things that we really took a lot of pride in. There was a time before I left, I don't know exactly what year, and I don't know if it maintains or not, but where we had the most number of undrafted players turn pro of any college hockey team in the country. You know, so we weren't necessarily, you know, having one and done type players who are sure shot NHL players that came in for a year and then left. We really prided ourselves on developing our players. And the stats bore out that, like I said, we had more undrafted players turn pro than anybody else in the country. And that was something we took a lot of pride in.
And also, you had Norm as your head coach of the team. He had, as a media member, he had his own personality to a lot of us, where we'd ask questions that I called them in inner circles, Norm Belichick, because you'd ask him questions and he'd answer a lot like Bill Belichick, which was without an answer that wasn't really an answer. He'd answer questions like, how's the health of this person? I don't know. I'll have to talk to my trainer. They know more than me. And it's like, well, I'm pretty sure they know as much as you, but I'll take it. But, you know, like I said, a lot of that program owes a lot of credit to Norm and him coming in and taking over and turning it into what it is now, obviously hiring people and taking on other people as well. But yeah, I mean, I think Norm has a lot of credit. You mentioned Connor being the best goaltender in college hockey. I think Norm had done a lot for the University of Massachusetts Lowell, that a lot of people who don't know the program, if you follow the program, you understand it. But if you don't know the program, I don't think as many people know Norm's name still to this day as a coach at UMass Lowell.
Yeah, no question. I think he's one of the top coaches, and certainly in college hockey, I think he's outstanding. He's a great person. I can understand the frustration from the media standpoint. I think that nickname is probably pretty apt. But you know, he really turned the program around. He continues to do great things. And not only from a player standpoint, but you look at some of the coaches and staff that he's had hired and has moved along. You know, you talk about Connor Hellebuck. Well, Cam Ellsworth was one of our coaches and for a long time. And, you know, he was a goalie coach as well as, you know, being an assistant coach. And, you know, some of the goalies that have come through that came through while Cam was there, you know, I think owe him a debt of gratitude, because he's been fantastic, and he's gone on. He's the head coach at Norwich, and you know, he continues to develop unbelievable teams, unbelievable goaltenders at Norwich. And so there's been a lot of good people that have come through, and Norm has helped develop staff as well as players.
I love how you mentioned Cam Ellsworth, because Cam and I have also kept in contact over the years as well. And he actually sent a friend this past summer to Orono Brewing Company in Orono, where I work, and had them connect with me so that I could send beer back with myself, with him to back to Norwich so he could have some beer from me. And then he mentioned also, so he'll Cam at some point in the near future is going to jump on the podcast as well.
Nice.
Because again, yeah, I was one of those, there was a couple people who I just kept in contact with over the years and, you know, followed on social media and so on. And Cam was one of those, because Cam, again, I think all the staff you guys had at UMass Lowell at that time were just genuine, great people. It wasn't like, there wasn't this like, I don't know, this, there's some people that just have rubbed people the wrong way. And it wasn't that. Even Norm's, like I said, with the media and, you know, not answering questions, it still was, he was super nice guy. But it was just kind of funny because he never really smiled to us at all that much, Norm. And I think I have a picture after you guys won in New Hampshire, it might've been 2013, right around there, maybe 2012. And you guys came back to Sangha Center and he was out front and a bunch of us were waiting there. I lived across the street, so I walked over. But he smirked, he smiled. And I think I still have that picture somewhere and I kept it and was like, guys, this is an actual smile coming from Norm Mason. But he had this, like, it's gruff thing to him, but he didn't. He was a super nice guy. And that was the point I was trying to get across there.
Yeah, no, it's 100% true. He's a really genuine, we still stay in touch. He's a great guy, great father, great person, in addition to being a great coach.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. And like I said, I love the memories that I was able to get out of that, because I remember sitting there in the press room and just being like, we're going to ask him questions. And then the new person would come in from another team or another, like a visiting media member, and they'd ask a question. And all the people who were there every night are like, oh, he's not going to answer that. I don't know why you guys asked that question. We'd all look at each other and roll our eyes. And
yeah, exactly.
I miss those days. I don't miss being out every Friday and Saturday night till late at night and that stuff. But I do miss the idea of being in those the press box and talking to the fellow media and talking to you guys and seeing you guys on the road here and there. And it brings back a lot of memories. It's a lot of fun to talk, you know, think about. But
yeah.
In addition to your job, you also co-authored a book. Am I right about that?
I did. Yeah. I co-authored a book three or four years ago, probably. Yep.
Intent, a practical approach to applied sports science and athletic development. Who'd you write that with?
Co-author was Justin Rothenschofer. Yes. He's another, he doesn't work in hockey anymore, but at the time we were both working in college hockey. He worked at Miami University of Ohio with their hockey program. And then he went on and worked in pro hockey in the American Hockey League in California. And so yeah, we collaborated on that a few years ago, and it was kind of an interesting collaboration. We'd sort of known each other, just, you know, again, kind of being in the field, and there's not a ton of, you know, strength and conditioning coaches in college hockey, because there's only, you know, 60 some teams. So you kind of know everybody, and we kind of knew of each other and knew that we both sort of had carved out a niche or an interest in kind of the sports science side of things, and got to talking and realized that, you know, we would go and speak at seminars or conferences, and we kind of end up talking about the same things, and we'd end up getting a lot of the same questions. And we realized, hey, we should probably put some of this stuff down on paper together and put something together. So we spent about a year at the time on, I was still at Lowell. He was in San Diego. So we were doing a lot of, you know, Zoom calls and FaceTime calls across country at odd hours to kind of put it together. But it was actually a really, it was a fun project, but it was also, I think, a catalyst for me, just to be able to have, sort of have that experience and have a resource, honestly, in the field that is, there's not a whole lot of, you know, kind of books on sports science, written by coaches, kind of for coaches. So, it was a really beneficial project for me professionally, as well as a really kind of fun project to do.
Is there like a plan to eventually do another, something else different, updated it or in like that? Or is it just basically like, I did this project, now I'm moving on?
We've talked about it. It's, I don't know. It's one of those things, we'd like to do it. It's writing a book is a lot of work, and there's not a lot of time in either of our schedules right now, but it's certainly something we've talked about.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I guess to be a published author, it's pretty cool. In a field, like, it's not just you randomly wrote a novel, you wrote it in a field that you work strongly in. So that's pretty cool to see that and add that onto your resume, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun project.
That's awesome. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I wanted a couple of other things that I'd like to talk about. Like, how does someone go into, like, we talked twice on that, you know, going and wanting to be a strength and conditioning coach in the NHL and so on. But like now, someone who's 16 years old and in high school, and they see you and they want to be your position, what trajectory do you put them in to get to the NHL? Like, what would you recommend they go to college for and all that stuff nowadays? Do you have that information for someone?
Yeah. I mean, I think from an education standpoint, I think the path is still, you know, pretty similar. Most people in the field in kind of my area, exercise science or kinesiology or some sort of sports science type degree. My undergraduate degree is clinical exercise physiology. And then my master's is in exercise science. So that's kind of step number one. Step number two is really, it's a very experience-based field. The education is certainly important, but you know, like any field, like you really learn by doing and learn by working. And it's, you know, my job as it is today is maybe less coaching than it had been in the past, but it's still coaching, and coaching is teaching and it's relationships. And so I think getting experience as a, you know, as a strength and conditioning coach at a, you know, a performance center. You know, I started out at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning in Woburn, Mass, and those types of places, I think is still absolutely a prerequisite to kind of getting into the field. You really need to learn how to work with people, how to teach, how to coach. So those are kind of the starting points. And then, you know, specifically to get to the National Hockey League or to get into pro sports, one of the things I tell people a lot is getting your foot in the door is really kind of the hardest part. There's not a lot of jobs, even if you broaden the scope to college sports and above, there's still not a lot of, you know, positions for all the people that are trying to get into the field or really interested in it. So finding any way that you can, you know, volunteer, that you can, you know, just job shadow, like getting your foot in the door, getting your name in front of people, and gaining experience in those areas, goes a really long way. The difference between working in college sports and pro sports is oftentimes that it's not that, one is, you know, has higher level, coaches or clinicians than the other. But if you're in pro sports, you're kind of in pro sports. You're kind of in that circle. If you're in college sports, you're in that circle. So
I thought that it's like, is it the same thing that you'd say with someone if like, hey, you want to work, you know, for example, in my industry as a brewer, get in there as the janitor so that you're there. And then you say, when the position opens up, you're at least on the payroll. So it's a lot easier for them to just interview you right there to do the next position that's available.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I getting into the National Hockey League for me, this is my second job in the NHL. My first job in New Jersey, like it wasn't the first time I interviewed for a job. It wasn't the first time I talked to somebody in the National Hockey League. Like I've been turned down for a ton of jobs. And a lot of times it was because I wasn't in that circle and somebody else, you know, with maybe less experience or less knowledge or whatever, but they were in pro sports. And so it was just an easier kind of route. So yeah, it's the same idea. Like if you know that this is where you want to be, find a way to get in doing whatever it is that you need to do. Because once you're in, that's the biggest sort of obstacle.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. Cause it's not something that everybody wants to do, but I feel like there is a number of people who it's growing industry, not just someone maybe in sports performance or just being a coach in general on a team. Obviously in sports like football and things like that, there might be more coaching opportunities because of how many positions there are and how many coaches there are on a team. And again, like you mentioned in college hockey, when there's only 60, you know, Division I hockey teams, it's a lot harder to become a position like you have when there's one of 60 jobs basically available. So you mentioned, love the idea of getting your foot in the door, do something you can, volunteer, shadow, all that stuff, because then it could position you in a position to, you know, get the job that you want, the job of your lifetime. To come back quickly to close things up, what was the biggest thing you took away from working at UMass? So what would be your biggest memory? Like, what was your favorite thing that happened? And what was your biggest takeaway from working at UMass Lowell?
Yeah, I mean, boy, a lot of really good memories. A lot of really good friends that I made there. Relationships, you know, you're an example. Like we met each other, I don't know how many years ago. One of the best memories was winning our first Hockey's championship, and not just winning it, but For that game, we were in the Boston Garden for the championship, and I was sitting in the stands. My family was actually there, so I was kind of sitting with them. And a lot of times during games, I would do that, and then intermissions, I'd go down to the locker room and stuff. And at the end of the game, I was in, you know, we were sitting in the UMass Lowell section, and just seeing how excited, not just, you know, the students who were there and everybody, but a lot of the folks who had been around the university for a long, long time. That was our first, the school's first championship, mm-hmm. The hockey's championship in however 30 years mm-hmm. or something. And seeing how excited the community was. And then specifically getting down on the ice and seeing Artie Poitras, our longtime athletic trainer, who had been there since the inception of hockey in Hockey East at UMass Lowell. He's still at Lowell, and I think it's year 35. But he'd been there all those years. All the ups and downs, and it was the first time they won, and seeing him get to lift the trophy and just how special that was, I think is probably one of the biggest memories that I'll kind of always hold on to.
That's awesome. I love that. I mean, you know, it was special for me, and I wasn't there that long. I guess it's one of those things. I feel like all the conversations and friends that I met in the first couple of years of following the team brought me down, if that makes any sense, all the losing seasons and so on. And it made me feel sad. And then seeing that, it was like the elation and people didn't understand why I could be so happy for a school that I didn't even attend. Like, I didn't go to it. I just think there was something with UMass Lowell, something with the Riverhawks, the fans that were there. I feel like, you know, the same thing goes for like older New England Patriots fans or Red Sox fans, to the point where it's like you just suffered so long that it's that one time that you get this. And then it was nice for, again, if you correlate that to professional sports, the New England Patriots and the Red Sox, they continued to win. So it's not even like you did this once and it was it. You were able to succeed and have, you know, 5 NCAA tournament appearances, 3 Hockey East championships, 2 titles for the regular season, and a Frozen Four appearance. Like, that's just crazy to see that all happen in front of my eyes. And so, and they're not down. They're not like they're back to 2009, 2010, 2011. The team is still good. This is a weird season in college hockey, as you probably could tell, the same thing with NHL, that UMass Lowell's played 11 games and teams have played 17 games because of postponements and all that stuff. And they did, I think, do the right thing by changing the scheduling from, this is what the schedule is going to be to, these are the teams that are available to play this weekend. Let's have them play and see what happens. Because it was this whole, I'd get an email every week because I'm still on the media email list of postponements and this is the schedule and da da da. And so finally they were like, nope, we're just going to do whatever teams are available to play this weekend, we'll play this weekend, and then we'll figure out next weekend. It was just made it a little bit better, harder to follow as a fan, but a little bit better for teams probably for the long run, for sure. It's going to be weird for the off season if they end up having to be able to do a hockey championship. It's going to be weird, but it's a like I said, the team kept on winning, and that's pretty cool. I love that story with you saying with lifting the trophy. Excuse me. It makes me so happy to talk about it. I really appreciate you being able to like reminisce and bring back those happy times for me following UMass Lowell and so on. So now we just have to do it for the Arizona Coyotes to win a championship right now, right? That's next.
There you go. That's next. Exactly.
This is Devin McConnell. He's a high performance director for Arizona Coyotes. D McConnell 29 for Twitter. If you want to follow him on Twitter and follow his journey as a high performance director, but you also have your book, and you have a link in your Twitter, right? For the book. Is that correct?
Yep. Okay,
so if you want to buy the book or take a look at the book, obviously follow the Coyotes on NHL on Twitter and on Instagram and all that stuff too. See how well they're doing this season. But I really appreciate you coming on, man, and talking with me. It's nice to chat and get this. We talked about this a couple months ago, but obviously with you changing jobs, I was like, you're like, I don't know what my schedule is going to look like.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad we could make it work. Yeah. I was looking forward to it. And it's great to catch up. And like you said, it's great to reminisce a little bit about the good old days.
Yeah, it'd be fun to do it again. Once I talk to Cam, it'd be fun to do it again, you know, a year from now, and have a couple of you guys on that used to work for the team that no longer are there anymore to reminisce those days. You know, if we do it in 2023, it'll be a 10-year anniversary from the 2013 champions. So, but I really appreciate it. At D McConnell 29 on Twitter. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you coming on.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
No problem.